Blog Talk Radio.
Once again to come on here and talk wrestling and have me on there, so thank you.
Our pleasure. Now, since you were last here, a lot has changed, not only in the industry but for you. One of the things I wanted to ask you about off the bat is the training school and promotion there in Missouri that you and your dad were running. It is still going and still operating, even though we have lost your father since we last spoke. What can you tell us about what has been happening recently there in Missouri with the school and the promotion?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you hit it right on the head. The old man started World League Wrestling and the Harley Race Wrestling Academy. And I'm just fortunate enough to have learned how to keep this up and going. And that's exactly what I'm trying to do. Everybody here, we have a great, as far as the school, we have a great group of kids that are eager to learn professional wrestling. They're eager to get in here and just basically shut up and keep their ears open and their mouth shut and just learn, in the best way possible. As far as the company, again, he started it, and I've been very honored to keep it going, and that's just something that means more to me now than it ever did before. So we have live events taking place all over. We have our monthly event that takes place here at the arena with at our TV studio, and there's just a lot of things going on. So it's kind of a vague question, but I hope that kind of gives you somewhat of a hint.
For sure. I'm glad it's still going strong and people are still learning at the academy. When your dad started the academy, he was, of course, older and had several injuries already at that point. And as time went by, I'm sure it got tougher and tougher as far as being able to physically show someone what to do. Even though his mind was still there and he knew everything, what has been the process as far as the instructors at the school? What have you done as far as having people get in the ring and physically show people? And do you have people that work on the psychological and mental aspects of pro wrestling aside from just the physical part?
Yeah, no, for sure. So, yeah, I still get in there daily to teach these kids because from my standpoint, I'm more of a visual learner, and in that aspect, I'm also a visual teacher too. I could sit here and say, you know, we'll do this, this, that, and the other, but until I actually get in there and show them, hey, hold your, you know, go to the left or go to the right or whatever the case may be, I find it much more better for them to get in there and to actually learn firsthand physically with me guiding them. And if I'm not the one doing it, then I have a couple of other more experienced students here that take the bull by the horns and they show it, and we're always busy. You know, there's a lot of kids here that have a variety of different learning levels, and you know, so each one requires a little bit different teaching, I suppose, because of the variety of levels. And yeah, we adapt and we just move forward with it, you know.
In the last few years, we've seen a lot of movies that have been based on wrestling. Last year, of course, the Iron Claw came out as a theatrical release, and it was based on the Von Erich family. This year, The Wrestling Queen is coming out, and it is based on Mildred Burke, and that will have a theatrical release. There's been documentaries that have come out on the streaming services. Have you or anyone in your family been in talks with anyone on a potential Harley race, either documentary or feature film?
Well, you know, as far as a film, not that I'm aware of, there's been no talks. I think that would be awesome just because of the storied, not only in the ring career, but outside of the ring career too. You know, there's things that he has done that today's generation of younger guys and girls in professional wrestling wouldn't even think about doing. And they wouldn't know how to react to it. So, yeah, I think that would be great. You know, that would be really awesome and great. But I haven't been notified of anything like that. Also, you know, but as far as documentary, he had a documentary release a couple years prior to him passing by High Spots. And WWE has put out some things that has, you know, somewhat captured his some of the highlights of his career, but not a full thing. But that's not to say that won't happen, though.
We know that he got his autobiography, and for the career, and like you said, the overall life that he had, that book really seemed short to me. I'm sure a lot of things were glossed over or left out of the book. Has there been talks with anyone on perhaps a follow-up biography?
No, nothing. Nothing really like that has been discussed by any stretch. Again, not to say that it won't, but as of this conversation, no, sir, there hasn't been any conversations. I know Dark Side of the Ring did an episode on him, and that was a bit worrisome at first, just because of when you look back and compare it to other the other subjects that are focused on per episode of Dark Side of the Ring. You know, they don't walk out as clean as they walk in sometimes, you know. But Dark Side, I think, did a pretty dang good job as far as showing the myth behind the man, you know, why John Wayne was John Wayne. I don't know if that makes any sense, but pretty good job. And, you know, there's been figures and, you know, he's in video games and stuff like that, but as far as anything past Dark Side, no, sir, I haven't seen anything come to our direction about it.
Hopefully in the future that will change. I'm sure the fans would welcome it.
Absolutely.
Now, your dad, as most fans will know, was the NWA champion more than anyone else in the history of the business. He held that title, I believe, 7 different times and was the face of the NWA by and large from the 70s until the early 80s. You, of course, have recently been part of the new version of the NWA. What's it been like for you being involved in the company, even though it's not the same thing as what your dad was in. It was the closest thing that we have to it.
For sure. You know, we have done some things partnering with the NWA, World League Wrestling here, the company, you know, in March earlier this year. We held a co-promoted show with the NWA where talents from the NWA, superstars that came from the NWA, EC3, Kenzie and Kylie Page, Terry Morton, Silas Mason, Aaron Stevens, Trevor Murdoch, Jax Dane, a number of stars came from the NWA to show solidarity that, you know, the face of the NWA, as you said, was the same guy that created World League Wrestling back in 1999. And that, of course, being the man, Harley Race, correct? And so there's – while the industry has changed and while the company of the NWA has changed, a lot of the stuff has stayed the same as far as fundamentally. Yes, the owner has changed, and he's done about as good of a job as anybody in his position could do. You know, the NWA is still going strong. I believe they just had a television taping yesterday in Tampa. And from what I gather, the crowd there, maybe it was a pay-per-view, I'm sorry, Sal Wynn too. The crowd that area has suffered a lot of devastating, the devastation as a result of both hurricanes, Helene and Milton, and they still came out to support the National Wrestling Alliance. And so to see the NWA doing good is fantastic. To see World League Wrestling doing good, obviously, is fantastic. And to be able to, you know, see something in the future happening, that's even better. But right now things are going great the way they are, and I hope that it stays that way and continues to move forward.
I agree with you there. One of the big things that I believe your dad took part in at least a few times, and it's something a lot of people of his era look forward to, is the Cauliflower Alley Club. And it has changed a lot since it first formed as well.
Yeah.
It's still a place where wrestlers can go and reunite with people that they work with over the years that they may rarely see. It's a place where fans now can also go and interact with people that they watched on television when they were growing up, up to guys that are currently on TV. There's a lot of benevolent work that the CAC does. They help a lot of wrestlers that are in financial need due to illness and injury or whatever.
Absolutely.
The case. Are you very active with the CAC yourself?
No, myself, as of currently, no. There's nothing against them. It's just hard. It's hard for me to even, make it out there. And I try to keep up with some of the people that go to that just because it's the good thing to do. And you're right, you know, it was built upon the principle of a place where some of the wrestlers back in the early, beginning stages of it, if you want to say it like that, could go and see their friends and their wrestling family, I suppose. Excuse me. And while that part has changed a little bit, the end result is still the same. It's still a place where people can go and gather and you know, live professional wrestling for X amount of time, 2 to 3 days for that specific convention. And I know that, you know, everywhere he went, it could be anywhere in the world, he would always garner that respect. And it was absolutely no different at the Cauliflower Alley conventions. So, you know, that tells me a lot. And, you know, again, hope that they do nothing but the good things that they continue to do. Because you're right, you know, I've seen firsthand where people that have been injured in car accidents, you know, that were professional wrestlers, that were coming back from a show and the Cauliflower Alley Club, you know, gave them financially, supported them a little bit. I can't remember the exact dollar amount, but that's neither here nor there. to see that, great thing, and they continue to do that because that's what a lot of the world needs is good stuff like that, you know.
There also is a growing Hall of Fame in Waterloo, Iowa. The Trago Stez Hall of Fame is located there, and they have expanded out a little bit to where it is more similar to what the CAC is doing, where there's activities 3 or 4 days leading up to the Hall of Fame ceremony. There's a live show that an independent company puts on, and more activities than they used to have for the Hall of Fame there. Have you been keeping tabs on what the Trago Stez Hall of Fame has been doing?
Truthfully, no. Again, nothing against them by any stretch of the imagination. It's when your world is consumed with professional wrestling and as a business in general, when you are a small business owner, a lot of your free time goes to keeping your business up and operational, and that's exactly the case here. I know he had received an award from that specific Hall of Fame, and if I'm not mistaken, I'm sitting right here looking at it, the Iron Mike Award. Let's see. Yeah, the Iron Mike Mazurki Award back in 2006. So that in and of itself is a good thing, right, obviously. And to see them continuing to operate and giving people, for lack of better words, I hate to say it like this, but their flowers, that's always a good thing, because it's never a bad thing to have people acknowledge you for your contributions and for your work that you put your life into, because in pro wrestling, that's what you do. You put your life into it, you know?
I agree with you there. And when your dad was in his prime, wrestling was a different animal in that a lot of fans took things extremely personally, and they would sometimes react that way. And there are, of course, horror stories over the years of fans attacking wrestlers. Wrestlers were stabbed. They had acid thrown on them. Batteries would be thrown at them from the upper levels, and it could get very dangerous. There were often riots involved. In more modern times, things like that are not very common at all. You don't hear about that much in the United States, at least. But sometimes there are some scary moments. Fans sometimes still do go after a wrestler that has angered them. Once in a while, things will get physical, unfortunately. What would you say is the scariest thing that your dad told you about a fan situation, and what would be the scariest moment that you personally have encountered as far as fans go in the business?
You know, back in his era, one of the biggest things that I remember specifically hearing, obviously he worked as a villain most of his career, most of them, not all the time, but most of it. And you're right, fans would have reacted a bit differently than they would today. And one of the biggest things that stuck out in my head, story-wise, still sticks out, is that there was a couple of two or three guys that had kind of surrounded him as he was making his way back to the locker room. Well, he ended up getting a guy and plucking his eyeball out and then turning him around and using him basically as a human shield, because what would be more scarier than a guy basically holding his own eyeball in the palm of his hand than that? You know what I mean? That's one of the things that a lot of people, I don't think they would understand. Again, going back to this generation of younger guys and girls, you know, things have changed, and that, I believe, has changed for the good. Ole Anderson got stabbed from torso down to his hips, you know. a lot of people, I don't think, would survive that, just in generality. Guys were tougher back then. I'm not saying there's not any tough guys now, but thankfully the fans have kind of calmed down on that type of physical violence. As far as myself, I really haven't ran into a situation where that has happened, and that's a good thing. I mean, I know there's ways to protect yourself, and there's obviously multiple layers from where the fans sit to the ring itself. And things don't, again, in a good way. But if they do, again, there's multiple layers. There's at some wrestling events, not all, there's security, you have guardrails, you have the wrestling ropes, things like that. And there's always different things that wrestlers should know on how to protect themselves. And largely fans don't cross out, although, you know, it does happen from time to time, but is quite generally tamed down.
Well, at this point in time, my co-host, Coach Mike Jones, is standing by, and I know Coach has some questions as well, so I'm going to right over to him.
Hey, brother, how you doing?
I'm great, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing good, too, man. And then, hey, what do you got coming up?
So on November the 2nd, so less than a week from today, we actually have World League Wrestling 25, which is the 25-year anniversary for the company started by Harley Race, of course, right? So that's coming up this Saturday, and then we have a fundraising event the Saturday after that, and multiple things, all good, happening for World League Wrestling here in Fort Missouri.
And then how do people get a hold of you guys?
The best way to do it is either on social media or on our website. You go to the website, it's harleyrace.com. Pretty simple name to remember if you're a wrestling fan. And if you're on social media, just look up World League Wrestling.
Okay, nice. All right, and in your lifetime, what have been some of the most memorable and your most favorite matches you've seen? And it's probably two parts, because – that includes live and then also on video or internet.
Sure. So the matches, you're saying matches I have been in myself, am I correct to say that?
Yeah. I mean, and then, of course, your dad's favorite matches too, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Myself, when I wrestled Nick Aldis for the NWA World Heavyweight Championship back in 2019, that was special for a lot of different reasons. It was a great match. It was a very busy day in generality, but it was a great match. And that's one that I'll never forget the remainder of my life. As far as matches that, you know, that I enjoy watching, there was one that sticks out in my head. It was from 1983 from All Japan Pro Wrestling. It was Ric Flair versus the old man, Harley Race. It was you can't find it much on YouTube anymore. It was a pretty good length of a match. But there was just some great things in that fans wouldn't normally see today. And it was different than, the most infamous of their matches, meaning Starrcade 83. There was that match in Japan was great on a lot of different levels, seeing things that you wouldn't see Ric Flair nor Harley Race do on a normal basis.
Awesome. Yeah, I did get to see your dad down at Cauliflower Alley a couple times. I've been down there
nice.
A few times myself. Didn't actually get to talk to him much. Was able to, like, say hi or wave to him, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
It's a timing thing, sure. You know, where he's either busy always talking to someone or I was. You know?
right.
The goal is to talk to everybody, you know, but can't always do that. Anyways,
people get busy. You're not wrong.
And then, hey, was it a true story your dad was a crazy driver?
He was a driver. The definition of crazy is subjective, but he just liked to, you know, have a good time. So whether
okay.
you think he got crazy again, that depends on the person, right?
But, I'm talking about from stories I hear from wrestlers riding with him.
Oh, yeah. No, he put the fear of God in him. He wasn't afraid to go fast.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Okay, I'm sure it's probably different with his family. Yeah, yeah.
No, not really. It depends, but, you know, going to the store down the street is vastly different than going cross country. But, you know, he enjoyed just messing with people, and, you know, sometimes that did involve driving fast in a car, a little on the faster side, going through the mean streets of Washington, D.C., or whatever the case may be, you know.
Right on. And then, hey, tell us at least a fun story or two about you and your dad, the stuff you did.
You know, he would tell me about how he would like to mess with people. And his version of messing with people was vastly different than what most would consider today. You know, he would catch, if he would ever go to Texas or the Funk, he would catch a rattlesnake. And there was a special way he did it. He'd bait him with the right and catch him with the left. That's how most people, that's how he would do it. And he would end up sewing his mouth shut and then putting it in the back of somebody's car. So, you know, the guy goes driving down the road, and all of a sudden you hear a rattler from a rattlesnake, and you start to freak out a little bit. So then when the guy would see it, it's even 10 times as worse. Stuff like that is a little bit more cruel, but all in good nature, you know?
Definitely. And then who do you think were some of your most toughest opponents and your dad's most toughest opponents?
Brody was being not the toughest, going to be one of his toughest. But at the end of the day, as far as the opponents of Harley Race, you have to take a step back and look at it. Nobody really kind of ever pushed Harley Race, and if they did, they found out why you don't do that by the end of the night. So, you know, that Brody, just because of his demeanor and how, you know, how he presented himself as a professional wrestler, that was always a good thing to watch. So there are clips of him and I believe Nick Bockwinkel and of course Harley Race and one other person in the ring in Japan. I forgot who it was off the top of my head, but those types of matches were always good to watch. Just the back and forth. It's not necessarily a technical match, but by the end of it, it kind of became one. I don't know if that makes any sense to you, but as far as myself, it's all about the same. You know, people treat me with a level of respect, and it's not because of who the old man is. I think largely it's because of how I treat others, and that's exactly what I got it from him, you know. Treating others with respect, because that's how you want to be treated, and I carry on that same mentality, you know.
Awesome. Okay, and then in your lifetime, and then growing up, who were some of your heroes? And that includes ordinary life, sports, music, and wrestling.
That's a really good question. If you're throwing in that factor of outside of, or, you know, it could include outside of the ring or outside of professional wrestling. Some of the people in the upper office of WWE for a couple of different reasons. I'm not going to limit it to just one person because there was multiple people that were involved in a couple of different situations. Kurt Angle I've always been a fan of his. And honestly, the military, anybody inside the military, I have the utmost respect for, because they voluntarily subject their lives and their bodies and their livelihood to protect ordinary citizens like yourself and myself here in the United States. And that I'll never forget a day in my life, you know.
Definitely. Okay, what about in sports and music?
Music, I'll be honest with you, I'm not a big music fan. Rarely do I listen to music. Sports, you know, Michael Jordan, he's one of my favorites just because he was like the man outside of pro wrestling whenever I was a kid. So that's always kind of stuck with me. It was Michael Jordan.
Yeah, okay. And how about in wrestling?
Well, like you said, Kurt Angle, he was one of them. I've always been a fan of his. And, there's a guy I like. His name escapes me. I'm talking about Billy Robinson is another person. Just because, not limited to, but a lot of it's because of his ability in the ring. Is second to none. And there weren't a whole lot of people tougher than him, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, cool. All right, and this next segment is called Favorites. What is your favorite coffee if you drink coffee?
Truthfully, just regular old black coffee with cream in it. I don't drink a whole lot of it, but if I do, that's what I have.
And then what have been your favorite concerts that you've been to?
Concert, you said?
Yes.
I don't really go – I'm not a music person, so I don't go to a whole lot of concerts.
But, I mean, you've been to more than one, right?
Well, I guess then it would be by default. It would have been the Smashing Pumpkins, because that's pretty much one of the only ones that I've been to here in recent memory.
Okay, there you go. Okay. All right. And then in your lifetime, what have been your favorite sports teams?
That's a hard one to answer also. Denver Broncos, New England Patriots, those are the two up there.
Okay, and then who are your favorite up-and-coming wrestlers people should keep an eye on?
I mean, that's kind of a hard question to answer. And which promotion are you talking about? You know,
in the world,
of that nature.
In the world today, brother.
Well, I'm going to sound a little bit biased here, but a lot of the students that train here at the Harley Race Wrestling Academy is anybody that I would keep an eye on, strictly because I know these guys in and outside of the ring, and I don't question their passion and dedication to this industry. I just know them, you know what I mean? So I would say anybody that continues to train here and has trained here at the Harley Race Academy.
Okay, what about throwing out a couple names the fans could take a look at and check out
sure.
on video?
Sure. So Blade Lennox is one. He is a unique individual because he is a former military personnel, and you know he's a veteran, and he actually was involved in an IED explosion overseas in Iraq and had lost his right leg due to that. So, you know, he has a prosthetic from the knee down. And just his story and seeing what he has been through and what the fact that he doesn't let anything stop him, basically, is one of the most admirable things that I could ever see in a lifetime. You know, he's one. Mike Maverick, he's 6'8", 275 pounds. He's a kid that you want to keep an eye on, too. Skylar Sparks, who is a female wrestler here, she is just now starting to come into her boots, I suppose, as a professional wrestler. She's just now learning herself as far as about herself and what she's capable of. You know, there's a number of people here.
Right on. Okay. All right, man. And then we appreciate you coming on today, and I'm sure Sign Guy has a lot more for you.
Sure.
Thank you, Coach. Well, Leland, one of the things that a lot of children of pro wrestlers went through, especially when your dad was sort of in his prime years, was they would have to move on a regular basis. We've talked to a few people, and they moved 12, 15 times in the span of 5 years, things of that nature.
Sure.
I know when you were born, things were changing a little bit, and guys were able to base in one town and not have to move territory to territory as much. But what was
right.
the situation like for your family as far as stability and being able to stay in one place?
you know, largely, again, whenever I was born, he was kind of starting to slow down a little bit, but he made it a point, and he had the ability, strictly because of the fact that he was the man of the NWA, to stay put, meaning in one location, and that's exactly what he did. You know, he would travel quite a bit, don't get me wrong, but he would never really have to move from one territory to another. A lot of that, again, like you said, kind of slowed down. So, yeah, that's long and short. He stayed in and around the Kansas City area for a number of years until he retired.
Sure, that made things a lot easier for your family as far as being able to have a little bit of stability.
Absolutely.
Your dad worked for a number of years and would make appearances years later for the WWF, which was, of course, owned up until the last couple of years by Vince McMahon. And Vince McMahon has come under a lot of scrutiny. He's had scandals for pretty much the last 40 years to varying degrees.
Sure.
Did you personally have interactions with Vince McMahon, and did you form an opinion on how he treated people when you were around?
Well, so, yeah, you know, I met him a handful of times, and I was able to interact with him just as many, right? Yeah, like, you're right. There's a lot of, how did you describe it? Situations that have came up, right, that do involve Vince. And whether or not that stuff's true, that's not for me to say. I'm not one to say it wasn't, because I wasn't there. You know what I mean? And if it did happen, obviously it wasn't a good thing by any stretch. What I saw firsthand was the level of respect that he gave the old man. Just being straight up honest with you, I'm not trying to throw anybody under the bus or anything like that, but that's all I saw because I was there. What he did elsewhere, I have no earthly idea because I wasn't there. I just saw the level of respect that he would get up out of Gorilla to come visit with him. You know, so that's what I saw. Did other stuff happen? It very well could have, but again, I wasn't there, so I'm not really super comfortable talking, you know, going in depth about it just because I physically wasn't there, you know.
Absolutely understandable. When your dad had to stop wrestling full-time in the ring, he transitioned over to managing, where he had a pretty good run as a manager. He managed world champions pretty much from the start of his managing days up until he got out of that aspect of it.
Sure.
Have you ever given consideration to eventually transitioning into a managerial role?
No, not really. I you know, I'm 40 years old now. I feel like I'm about 197 on some days. But I feel that my in-ring career is not done by any stretch. Is it slowed down? Yes, I will say that much. But I'm not done. Learning how to do things and wrestle matches around some of those quote unquote nagging injuries that a lot of guys have, that's, you're still learning how to wrestle. The learning part of professional wrestling never ends. And like what I just say, learning how to adapt to what your body can and can't handle, that's learning, right? So I feel that I have a lot to give to professional wrestling into WLW. So as of right now, no, but I'm not saying it's off the table, though.
With WLW, did you envision the company at any point, or even now, getting into the television aspect of things? We've got more wrestling on TV at the national level than we've seen in decades, with AEW, WWE, TNA, WoW, all of those have national shows. But because the technology has changed with streaming services and local broadcast television and regional cable television networks, it's a lot easier now than in years past to have some form of television for a wrestling company. Is that something that your promotion has ever looked into or been approached to try to do?
Well, so we actually are, we have a weekly television program that airs new content, new matches, new episodes every single Saturday and Sunday in 16 to 17 different markets. Is one of those two numbers. I forget exactly which one. And it goes from, you know, Houston, Texas, San Antonio, Texas, all the way up through Indianapolis, St. Louis here, Columbia, Missouri, up into New York City. There's four or five stations in New York City alone that carries our TV program, World League Wrestling Showdown. So we actually do have that, and we started that back in 2018, and here we are 6 years later, and still going strong. New content every single week.
That's fantastic to hear. I'm glad you got that television program in the eastern half of the country. That's fantastic.
Yeah, long and short, which is a great thing. You know, as whenever WWE moves to Netflix, I believe, in January, I think there's going to be a large void in other television stations' programming. So given time, I think that pro wrestling will, you know, continue to not only survive but thrive on broadcast TV airwaves. And it may take a while, but I think that's something that's going to happen, you know.
In the last several years, we've seen a lot of families of professional wrestlers that have passed put out merchandise of those wrestlers, whether it's T-shirts, hats. Sometimes they put out DVD packages of past matches and interviews and so forth. Do you do a lot of merchandising for your dad as far as releasing things like that?
So we you know, there has been a couple of new T-shirt designs that we have come up with since he has passed, but about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, WWE now has the rights to the name and the wrestler Harley Race. WWE does. And so, you know, it's been slowly but surely trickling out with Harley Race merchandise, you know, the figures, the King of the Ring. There was a box set that came out with him and superstar Billy Graham, if I'm not mistaken, from the Orange Bowl. And I love that figure, set, because on the opposite side is Gorilla Monsoon and Muhammad Ali. And so, and he's been now, you know, they even have Harley Race in the video game. So slowly but surely, the stuff is now getting back out there, and that's what he wanted. He always would say that he doesn't want the people to forget him. And so WWE is the biggest name in the game. They have the most reach. They're in almost every single store that you go to, right, whether it's magazines, whether it's figures, video games, et cetera, et cetera. So to have WWE pushing Harley Race merchandise is always a great thing. The level of respect they have for him, second to none. And we're seeing that firsthand, you know.
I presume that's sort of under a Legends deal, which a lot of the wrestlers from your dad's era signed in recent times.
Correct.
A lot of these, I'm sure, vary as far as the individual wording and what's in the contracts. But can you tell us a little bit on how that works as far as royalties? Was he given a flat fee, or do you get royalties based on sales, or does the company
With all due respect, I'm not going to discuss that with you guys. That's just something that is business, and it's going to remain that way.
Understood. One of the other things that a lot of wrestlers had trouble with, I'm sure still today, it's an issue sometimes, is going out in just their day-to-day lives. A lot of times fans will stop them. They'll want pictures. They'll want autographs. Being on TV, of course, there's the celebrity. When you were growing up, did you run into very many problems as far as being able to have a day-to-day life because of your dad's celebrity?
No.
Or was it something that fans were used to him and that?
No, not really. It never really was an issue. You know, people, of course, you have those nut jobs that, you know, I guess feel entitled just because they bought a ticket to a wrestling event to go hound whoever it may be for an autograph or a picture or whatever. But at the end of the day, you know, he would always tell me, you know, they supported me my entire career, so it's the least I could do to take a picture with him or give him an autograph or whatever the case may be, you know. So, and to see him, who by all accounts had a career that is at the absolute bare minimum, a great one to say the least, legendary one, an iconic one, to see him say, hey, look, you know, I am going to take a picture with him because basically I can. It makes you take a step back and realize that without the fans, there wouldn't be a professional wrestling in generality, never mind a specific wrestler, whoever it may be, you know, but just in generality, for him to slow down and say, hey, look, yeah, sure, I'll take a picture with you. That was always awesome.
Growing up, did your dad get to do things with you as far as, like, say, going to a important ball game or going into VIP things and things like that based on the celebrity to call and say, I'm Harley Race, the NWA champion, and that got you doors to open that may not have opened for other people?
I don't know. You know, nothing like that. You know, he would always go to events that were important to the kids, but you know, of course it was hard because he was traveling 7 days a week largely, you know, but he always made it to the ones that he possibly could. And he did as good of a job as anybody could do, given the shoes that he was wearing at that point in time, you know.
Now, speaking of shoes, a lot of families of wrestlers, especially people that, or even before your dad's era, they don't have a whole lot of mementos left. They might have a pair of boots or they might have a ring jacket or something like that, but a lot of times the wrestlers didn't really hold on to what they had as far as mementos. They would sell the boots or the rope to a younger wrestler.
Sure.
In more recent times, we've seen wrestlers that would hold on to things to pass to the family so the family had those mementos of the career. Do you have a lot of your dad's old wrestling gear?
No, he sold what he had, a lot of what he had, to the WWE for their Hall of Fame purposes, like the red, white, and blue robe from Starrcade he had. He sold that to WWE. As well as the King of the Ring robe and boots and crown. A lot of that stuff now is owned by the WWE. And that's great because, you know, yearly at WrestleMania, they put it on display. So that is just another thing that WWE does, that opportunity to see the past and let Harley Race and Ric Flair and all those guys continue their not to be forgotten, you know?
Your dad, like you said, he was based in and around Kansas City, Missouri. He was co-owner of K Kansas City territory, do you still have a lot of people within Kansas City that knew your dad either as a fan or as a fellow wrestler or a promoter that comes up and keeps contact with you?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of people that whether we're going to events or whether we're, you know, in and around the areas, and it wasn't limited to just Kansas City, you know, St. Louis also. A lot of people say, you know, Harley Race, because they see, you know, World League Wrestling stuff that we're wearing, and they know Harley Race and World League Wrestling go hand in hand. So, yeah, there's a lot of people that whether a lot of them are fans, you know, that still cherish what he did and his contributions to professional wrestling.
All right. Well, I believe Coach had a couple more quick questions before we wrap up.
Hey, brother,
sure. What
are you suggesting to people wanting to get into the business?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that one more time? I was unable to hear you.
What are your suggestions for people wanting to get into the business?
Get in good of a shape as you possibly can. Go to a reputable school, whether it be ours or any other place. Go to a reputable one because there's wrestling schools are a dime a dozen. And if you're going to go to pay one that's just going to tell you what you want to hear, you're not going to last. You know, this business isn't for everybody, and it is difficult whether, you know, no matter where you are. You have to travel. You have to be able to drop everything that you're doing sometimes in order because of opportunities that might get thrown at you last minute. We literally just had one earlier about an hour and a half ago. So you have to be able to go, and you have to be able to be mentally strong enough to, you know, accept that this is not a normal way of life. But it's also one of the greatest things I think I've ever done in my entire life in that same sentence too. So it takes a special kind of person to do this. And if you think you have that special kind of crazy, for lack of better words, then, you know, give it a shot.
And then is there any other schools you'd like to suggest besides your own?
Well, I you know, there's a lot of schools out there. Everyone handles themselves a little bit differently. There's a lot of reputable ones. If I was anybody, do your homework on whatever wrestling school you're looking to get into. That's the biggest thing.
Okay. And then you want to give a shout-out to anybody and everybody who helped you get to where you're at right now. That goes
now,
all the way
there's
down
a lot of people.
To your high school.
Yeah, there's
school
a lot of people. No. You know, there's a lot of people that have, you know, contributed to, I don't want to even say my success because I haven't been successful. I've just been fortunate. And you know, I talk to those people all the time, and a large part of it is the fans, you know. So definitely to all the fans out there who are listening, whether you're a fan of me or not, just one of the biggest things to take away is still remain a fan of professional wrestling because pro wrestling depends on you, you know.
Definitely. Okay. All right, man. Before I give you back to Sign Guy, the guy who's so fly, he's going to take you to the sky, Mr. Sign Guy.
All right. Well, we're down to the last few minutes. So, Mr. Race, if you have absolutely anything you want to say, the listeners in closing, and if you want to plug and promote anything whatsoever, the social media, the upcoming appearances, your favorite department store, anything at all, floor is all yours.
No, it's I appreciate the opportunity again. And, you know, you can follow anything World League Wrestling related, anything Harley Race related at harleyrace.com or World League Wrestling on social media. Anything else is the wrong source, but harleyrace.com or World League Wrestling.
Well, Mr. Race, we definitely appreciate you coming on today. Look forward to keeping tabs on World League Wrestling and the goings on there, and we look forward to seeing the new crop of wrestlers that come through the Harley Race Academy, and best of luck to you as you continue upward and onward in your career.
Sounds great. So thank you very much. Have a good day, and again, appreciate the time.
Thank you.
All right. And
yes,
definitely, especially if you have the panel that carries World League Wrestling near you, give them a watch. Follow them on the social media. They are cranking out the great young wrestlers all the time there. It's very well ran. Coach, as we get out of here today, what have you got to plug and promote?
Yeah, you can check me out at Coach Mike Jones, the coach with the most. Coach Mike Jones on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter. Don't forget to check out the Real School Army in the NGW Green Room for hundreds of interviews from celebrities all over the world. And, of course, the Coach Mike Jones Show podcast that I was blessed to have Sign Guy co-host half the time with me. And I've got season one in the books with over 91 shows. So, also, I want to thank Turnbuckle Turmoil for all they do and for the continued success of 15 years going on 2,000 shows. Thank you to JD and QT and Sign Guy. We appreciate it, and the fans for all your feedback, input, and love and support. Thank you, guys.
All right, fans, don't forget you can follow us on all the social medias. Jump on there, look us up, and you will find us. Next week, we will be back with you on Friday afternoon. We have Big Dave, who is a referee out of the Midwest. He works for many promotions, Supreme and Emerge. 1 week from this very day, the Combat Pro Wrestling HR representative will be here with us. He is fresh off of having suspended almost the entirety of Combat Pro Wrestling, with the exception of myself and a couple of others. But he will be on here as we are just a few weeks away from the new home of Combat Pro Wrestling in Shoreline, Washington. Upcoming show on the 17th, so he's going to have all the news going into that show, and he might explain why he suspended most of the roster. Make sure you have plans to join us for that. Find me in a couple of weeks. I will be with Inclusion Pro Wrestling down in Kelso, Washington on the 16th, and then the next day, the 17th, in Shoreline for Combat Pro Wrestling. Also, one more time, thank you to everybody that came out. Over 600 people in a quarters last night for Midget Wrestling Warriors. We were turning lots away because we had completely sold out. So, very successful first time in a quarters for that company. We look forward to the return there. And everybody stay safe out there. Get out, support your local independent pro wrestling.